This week's episode of PFW Chicago Football Podcast Christmas Edition brought to you by Loot Crate. Head to lootcrate.com/Shaw and use our promo code Shaw to get $3 off your first crate. A really cool crate for this month. It wraps up. You got a full month to get this crate. The theme is origins because we're going back to explore the iconic origins of some historic items. So in your Loot Crate, you're going to get 4 to 6 exclusive items featuring Superman, Captain America, Mario, and my favorite, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I used to have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles basketball video game way back in the day. I was obsessed with that thing, and I think it's still somewhere in my parents' house. Might have to go find it during the Christmas weekend, throw some batteries and see if it still works. But I can't wait to see what Loot Crate has in store for some of these cool Superman, Captain America, Mario, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in this month's crate, and you'll get $3 off your first crate if I use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. It's Christmas time. The Bears are 3-11. Let's talk about it. Welcome to this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Kevin Fishbane here, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. Joined by my producers Dan Mott and John Solly, we got our special Christmas week edition of the podcast for you. Some fun Christmas gifts we'll hand out later in the program. Of course, got to give you the particulars. Head to profootballweekly.com/Bears for all of our Bears content. Make sure you're following Bears_Insider on Twitter for all of our stuff from Halas Hall and Soldier Field throughout the week. And add Bears_Insider on Snapchat, and you can enjoy our Snapchat stories, especially on game day. Should get some good Snapchat filters on Christmas Eve when the Bears host Washington this Saturday. Before we get into that game again, to some of our Christmas fun, we got to recap what my producer John Solly described the most Bearsy loss you can imagine, which happened this past Sunday. They're down 27-10 to the Packers. They've already turned it over 4 times. They have a ton of backups on the field against the Packers team that needs to win, really, to stay in line to make the playoffs. And somehow, some way, Matt Barkley rallies the Bears all the way back. They get the tying field goal. And then you got some clock management questions, some decision questions, and then 3rd and 11, and Aaron Rodgers did what Aaron Rodgers does best. He found a spot in the defense. He found Jordy Nelson flying downfield, hand in the air, past Trayvon LeBlanc, and Rodgers hit Nelson with a 60-yard throw. Packers hit the game-winning field goal and take the lead in the all-time series for the first time since 1933. John, I saw a crazy stat that the Bears actually were leading in the series by, I want to say, 28 games when Brett Favre took over. So if you go back, I think it was 24 years ago when Brett Favre took over as Packers quarterback, and since then the Packers have been able to win that many games to even the series.
Yeah, and like I turned to my 7-week-old after the game. I said, "Well, that's Bears Packers. That is all I've known." In this rivalry, really, is that the Bears put up a fight and then they shoot themselves in the foot and then it's over and either Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre is celebrating another Packers win over the Bears.
Can we please stop calling this a rivalry? I am so sick and tired of hearing that this is some kind of rivalry.
It's the oldest rivalry in the NFL.
It's the oldest garbage in the NFL.
My friend Greg always likes to point out that the Bears-Cardinals is technically the oldest rivalry. If you think about when the Chicago Staleys played the Chicago Cardinals back in the 20s. None of us were alive to watch those games. But it's funny because we had Aaron Nagler on last week and Emily Kaplan talking about the rivalry. And people in Green Bay, I think at this point, just view the Vikings as a much more hated rival, and the Bears are just kind of like that long time that you have a lot more stories to talk about. But the Vikings is a bigger deal, it seems, to Green Bay Packers fans these days. And, you know, I don't want to talk about the game too much. We've got a short week this week as we head into Saturday's game. But, John, I wanted your take a little bit as a fan, what you thought of the decision to kick the field goal on 4th and goal from the 3 instead of going for the win.
So I've had 2 different reactions to this. In the moment, I thought, what are you doing? You have won three games all year. You're at home. You've got, you know, your biggest rival. Why not just go for the win? No one is going to fault you for going for the win in an essentially lost season, right? Like, at least, like, you could, even if things don't work, you could come back and say, well, at least you tried. Having a couple of days of perspective and having the ability to sort of look some things up, sort of not in the moment. The Bears have been brutal on fourth down this year. I believe they are like 30th or 31st in fourth down conversions this year. And, you know, just a couple plays before that field goal, I think it might have been first down where they ran it with Howard. And everybody knew that they were going to run it with Howard. And Dom Capers kind of sold out. And everybody, you know, shot a gap. And they stuffed Howard for a loss. So if they go for it on fourth down, you know where it's going. They're not going to put the ball in Matt Barkley's hands to try and win that game. It's going to Jordan Howard. So I think from Fox's perspective, you know, you just tried that a few plays ago and the Packers sold out and just blew you up. So when everybody in the building knows that's coming and you're that bad on fourth down, you haven't really earned the opportunity. I understood it. But it complicates things because then when you go further down the line in this game, if you're going to play for overtime, then commit to that all the way and take the 10-second runoff and give Aaron Rodgers 10 fewer seconds to play with when you had that opportunity, rather than all of a sudden say, oh, well, maybe we've got a shot now to turn things around if we can force a punt. No, if you're going to commit to overtime, commit all the way to overtime. So that I had some issues with it at the time. You know, I think what we've learned, and this sort of reinforces it, Sunday reinforces it, is that John Fox is not a great game day coach. I think we can say that with some conviction after watching it up close for 2 years. What do you think about that?
When John Fox was hired, someone from Denver told me that the way they viewed him there was a great coach Saturday through Friday. That was kind of his the little bit of how he was classified out there, and a lot of questions about game day. And John, it sounds like you were as conflicted in your feelings about it as John Fox was as the game was going on, because as you kind of described, it looked like he was going for different things in his mind as the plays were going. It wasn't one consistent mentality about going overtime or going for the win. And to throw numbers to what you said, you're absolutely right, and I kind of wish I had tweeted this on Sunday. The Bears are 2-for-11 on fourth down this year, which is 31st in the NFL and worst for teams that have gone for it on fourth down at least four times. The Bears are worse than the NFL. So that number does go against them, and the Packers had played good defense, as you mentioned, on the two previous, you know, Jordan Howard plays. The way I kind of viewed it was, you know, as again, I kind of agree with you. I think there was some conflict that John Fox is dealing with throughout those final 2 minutes. You work so hard to get yourself back in that game, in a game you had no business still being in. So part of me is like, man, you're actually in it. Take the field goal and go to overtime and see what you can do in overtime, because, oh my gosh, you're about to tie the Packers after they went up 17 points in the third quarter. Don't blow it now by going for it on fourth down and making it over right away. I feel like there was part of that, like, oh my God, we got all the way here, quick, get the field goal, let's tie the game and get out of here, because I can't believe we are even in it. Again, that's not really how head coaches think, but that was part of what was going through my mind when they got to that point. But yeah, I think, and you guys can tell me what you think as fans of this team, I'm just kind of observing this from a journalist perspective. I think this is what the Bears have done over the past month is perfect for Bears fans. Because they're playing hard, so they're not doing like what the Jets are doing. You know, they're not lying down. You're seeing some close and exciting games that are coming down to the fourth quarter, down to the wire, but they keep losing, so the Bears are still going to get a better draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, above all else, preserving that top draft spot has been, I think, my top priority as a fan. Get as high a draft pick as you can. And like I said, they haven't quit. They're not lying down. This isn't the Jets. This isn't the 49ers. They are continuing to play hard and lose, which, you know, if you zoom out, that's kind of what you want. Entertain me on Sundays, but preserve what's coming in the draft for me. You know, get that high draft spot as high as you possibly can. It's fine. This is fine. It's fine. But I'm very much looking forward to April and the draft.
the draft at the end of April, and we got you know, next week we'll preview the final game of the season. The week after that, we will kind of recap what Ryan Pace and John Fox had to say and kind of do a season in review. But then when we get into mid-January, it's going to be all draft talk, a little free agent talk mixed in there for the next kind of 3 months, because that is going to be the main focus. So the amazing thing about the NFL is this idea of hope and having hope, and that is what sells in this league. And the Bears are going to have to offer their fans hope, but they're going to be able to land a pretty good player with a top five pick. You know, and look, they got a pretty good player in Leonard Floyd. It would be nice if he was healthy all season long to see what his numbers could have been. But that's, you're going to get another guy pretty highly ranked on the draft board. Speaking of first round picks, before we get into the Saturday's game, interesting stuff this week with Kyle Fuller. And we're recording this on Wednesday morning, so I don't, there has now been an official decision. But I'm going to talk with the assumption that he is not going to be activated off injured reserve later this afternoon. And Vic Fangio had a really interesting quote, which essentially was, there are three things that need to happen. You know what? I'm just going to read it to you verbatim so I don't screw up my man Vic's, what Vic said, because it was really kind of important because we don't get this from John Fox. He said, anytime a guy's hurt, there's three stages to getting him back on the field. One is you've got to get medical clearance. Two, the player's got to say he's ready to go and feels confident and he's championed the bit to go play. And then the coaches get involved and see if he's better than what the other choices are and if he really is going back to being ready to play. A has happened. B has not. So C is a non-issue. So that's Vic Fangio saying he's medically cleared, but he doesn't feel like he's ready to go, so it's out of our hands. And, John, that is about as big of an indictment on Kyle Fuller that you're going to get from this coaching staff.
So, first of all, let's applaud Vic Fangio for being honest.
Yes.
You don't get that type of quote very often from a coach, and that sort of honest assessment to, like you said, it's a huge indictment. He is calling out Kyle Fuller's essentially want to. He's calling out his heart. Does Kyle Fuller really want to play football for the Chicago Bears right now? And the answer that the coaching staff really, and John Fox sort of hinted at it just in sort of a very foxy way, they're begging you to sort of draw that conclusion and say Kyle Fuller does not want to play. And that may actually be true. Kevin, I want to sort of turn this around on you with Kyle Fuller. Does his skill set really fit what Vic Fangio wants to do on defense? Or is Fuller just looking to the next opportunity and not wanting to put more bad gameplay on tape for evaluators of the other 31 teams in the NFL?
Well, I can tell you that as having covered Kyle Fuller for 3 seasons now, we never know what he's thinking. It's just like
okay.
He is as difficult a player to really get to know in that locker room. That's just how he is. He's quiet. For the Bears, the one thing I've always said about Fuller is the athleticism has been there. He's got great size. There's a reason he was picked number 14. We saw glimpses in his rookie season, of course. And you would think that with the kind of skill set he has, that someone like Vic Fangio would be able to make it work either at corner or safety. But because he just hasn't been healthy all season, we didn't really get a chance to look at that. So, you know, what's interesting is Kyle Fuller's, what could have been his last interception as a Bear, took place last year against this week's opponent in Kirk Cousins in Washington. So, you know, it's going to be Ryan Pace probably would want to make it work just because the idea of losing another first-round pick, if that's what ends up happening, if they end up trading him for a late-round pick, you know, like Ryan Pace wants to keep first-round picks even if they're not his. But the fact that they might lose another one so that Kyle Long would be the only first-round pick on the team from before 2015 is just shows you where his franchise is at. Brad Biggs pointed out in Chicago Tribune that Kyle Long is the only player since 2004 when you look at the first-round picks who have signed second contracts for this team. Tommy Harris in 2004, Kyle Long from 2013, and it shows you what years and years of bad drafting can do to your team.
That is brutal. That is an absolutely brutal history of just terrible first-round picks and consecutive stacked first-round picks. And that's why this Bears team has been so bad for years now.
Yeah, and look, it was 2.5 years ago, not 2.5, 2 years ago and 3 months when Fuller came in the game in San Francisco, Charleston tore his triceps, and it was the Kyle Fuller game. He had 2 interceptions. It was a win that nobody expected in San Francisco. And, you know, looking back, that 49ers team ended up being not that good that year in what was Jim Harbaugh's final year there. But, it's pretty amazing that this is where we're at with him now. And there were times I thought he'd be back next year, even if he didn't play all year. Just you want to keep trying to find out what you have in him. But I think if you read between the lines, that would be surprising at this point. And I apologize to our listeners if for some reason the Bears activate him and he plays this weekend. But if he does, that would show you that how surprised we all are if that were to be the case. Another first-round pick for this organization that is not going to pan out. Before we get into our preview, I want to talk about another sponsor, a sponsor that's really perfect for this time of year. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Well, you can head to fanessentials.net. You pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. Prices start at just $34.99. And if you use our promo code CHICAGO at checkout, you'll get 30% off your first month. That is Chicago, 30% off your first month at Fan Essentials. They find the sports gear so you don't have to, and each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. Visit fanessentials.net. Use our promo code Chicago at checkout. All right, guys, it's Christmas week. The Bears play a Saturday game on Christmas Eve against Washington. Remember, we don't say the R words on this program, nor will you see it in our print, and I have nothing to apologize for that. The Washington team, I watched Monday night's game. They were bad. I mean, that was a really bad loss for them. How about this? They're 1-16 at home on Monday Night Football. Say what you will about any embarrassing stat for the Bears. That's really bad. And I think somebody also pointed out that it's a team that is on Monday Night Football maybe more than it should be. But they still have a glimmer of playoff hope. So they're playing for something when they come to Soldier Field on Sunday. And they might be without Jordan Reed. And John Solid, that is going to ruin my favorite Jordan Reed stat, that he's in two games against the Bears, 2013 and 2015. He has caught every single one of the 18 balls thrown his way for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I don't think it ruins that stat. It's still true if he doesn't play.
That's true. That just increases it for, they're not playing next year, but, you know, maybe 2018.
Yeah, it's a big benefit to the Bears to obviously not see a guy that has smashed them in two games in a defense that probably, I would say, is not really capable of shutting him down. But, this Washington still has something to play for. So I think this game has a little bit of interest on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, the key for the Bears is going to be, you know, they're going to be at a disadvantage against the pass. The Washington's second in the NFL in passing. Kirk Cousins did not look good against Carolina, but he's had some great games this year. What's impressed me most about Kirk Cousins over the past few years is his ability to throw the deep ball. I didn't really necessarily expect him to be such a good deep ball thrower coming out of college, but he has been. And he sets it up with some of the dinks and dunks, a very kind of quick toss, you know, almost West Coast-like system. And then they'll beat you deep, and they got a guy in DeSean Jackson who can blow the top off the defense. Jamison Crowder has been fantastic this year. Pierre Garçon is really good at getting open. That is a lot for a young pass defense to put up with for the Bears, and that's going to be tough. The Bears are going to have to try to sack Kirk Cousins. They're third in the league now in sacks per pass attempt, the Bears are. But the Washington, with Trent Williams, Brandon Scherff, they do a pretty good job up front. That's going to be where this game can be won. If the Bears can get to Kirk Cousins, they can turn things around. And, oh, my goodness, will they take the ball away? I mean,
somebody.
The Bears have 10 takeaways this year. That is tied for worst in the league and well off their pace of last year's franchise low. It is so bad that they can't take the ball away. And Kirk Cousins does not necessarily give it away very often. Washington is not very good, or certainly they were not very good running the ball against Carolina. Bears get Jarrell Freeman back. That should help. And, John, I imagine the tackling on Sunday won't, or on Saturday will not be as bad as it was last week against Green Bay.
I mean, it has to be, right? But I'm excited actually to see how Craven LeBlanc responds to the end of Sunday's game and how he bounces back. I don't know who he's going to be matched up against, but you know, all of those Washington receivers, like you said, are very capable. So, you know, this is a young guy that had shown some flashes. I want to see how he responds on Saturday.
Yeah, and the coaches really like what he's done. I tweeted out that, you know, it's worth reminding he's tied with Tracy Porter for the most passes defensed on the team. I mean, you look at what he's been able to do this year, an undrafted rookie out of Florida Atlantic has become one of the Bears' better, you know, guys in terms of ball skills. Flip it over on the other side. Washington's defense, you can run on them. And maybe this is the game that Jordan Howard gets the ball 20, 25 times. I feel like we say that every week and it never happens. Jeremy Langford, I feel like you could get, I understand not taking the ball out of your best offensive weapon's hands and Jordan Howard, but you can use two back sets. You can get Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey on the field. They're not bad players, especially against a Washington team that gives up 4.5 yards per carry. And then you look at getting Alshon Jeffrey back. They got him going in the second half. I wonder if, what Washington does with Josh Norman. Do they shadow Alshon Jeffrey? Bashaud Breeland's another decent corner for them. So they have some playmakers, but they also have a lot of injuries. They had some guys get hurt against Carolina. They were without two key players for their run defense. So this is a game where Washington's bad on third down defense, bad on the red zone. It's a game that you would think the Bears should be able to score some points on Christmas Eve. We're going to get to our predictions in just a minute. But, guys, it is Christmas time. Christmas Eve is Saturday. Bears play at noon. Christmas Day, Sunday. Bulls Spurs on Sunday for a little Christmas afternoon delight. Let's talk Christmas gifts for the Chicago Bears. And I'm going to start with Ryan Pace. And my gift for Ryan Pace is a quarterback. Let's get the Bears general manager a long-term solution at the quarterback position, whether that's Jimmy Garoppolo, whether that is Deshaun Watson in the first round, whether that is Brad Kaya in the second round, I don't know. Somebody find this man, this general manager, a long-term quarterback. I wrote in our take two this week that it'd be nice if he walked out on Christmas morning, John, and saw Jimmy Garoppolo with one of those big Lexus bows on his head.
Just sitting in his front lawn.
Just right there in his driveway. And was like, there you are. Here's your quarterback of the future.
That might be a little bit scary if that's all he's wearing, but you know.
Right. You had to go there, John, didn't you? In his Christmas attire. But that's what I would get for Ryan Pace. John Fox, I mean, there's a lot of things you can get for John Fox. You know, a healthy team.
A throat lozenge.
Throat lozenge. I guess he got his face got pretty red during that game. Maybe some Vaseline.
Coughlin red. I wasn't concerned.
Well, nobody. I mean that is reserved for Tom Coughlin. That kind of shade of red. What else could we get, Foxy? Maybe less time to have to talk to the media as a Christmas gift, because I don't know how much he enjoys that. I got a gift for Vic Fangio, guys. Thinking back to how the Bears are so bad at taking the ball away, how about Eric Berry? How about a guy who can take the ball away from the safety position so that he doesn't have to worry about continuing to rotate his safeties every week, actually can find somebody who can play center field and go take the football away? So that would be, I think, a nice gift for Vic Fangio. John, do you have anything you want to give any of the Bears front office members or players?
I got one. Maybe another hoodie for Fangio. Fangio loves them hoodies, especially in the hoodies. Summer.
Another
loves
hoodie.
Hoodies and sweatpants, yeah. Maybe we can get one of the Belichick sleeveless hoodies for him. I think that would be nice. And I would get... here's the thing. We can't get the McCaskey family a playoff appearance because we're not that powerful. Although I guess we could get Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Pace's driver with the bow. That's something we could arrange.
That's our limit.
Getting a playoff appearance is going to take a little work. What else could we get the McCaskey family? A time machine? maybe? Would they want to go back and not approve the Mark Trestman hire, or even before that, the Phil Emery hire?
How about a bid offer from another owner?
Oh, well, is that a Christmas gift for you, John, or is that a Christmas gift for the McCaskies?
I feel like it's a gift for both of us.
Okay. Do we want to give them Lovey back, or would that be a lump of coal for a lot of fans who are anti-Lovey? We got to be careful here. We have a lot of power as we are playing Santa Claus here.
Do you think
And I should say we're also playing Hanukkah Harry, because Hanukkah does start on Christmas Day.
So a couple years back, I think it's about 2 years back now, maybe a year and a half, the Bears dedicated a great statue of George Halas in front of Halas Hall. It's a beautiful, I think, bronze statue that is fairly large. Do you think that if we cover that in some like goo or slime and play "Your Love's Lifted Me Higher," it'll come to life and then coach the Bears for us?
Wow, that was a layered Ghostbusters reference there, Dan Mott, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, that could work.
I would watch that.
Yeah, let's get George Halas back. I wonder what George Halas would have to say about, if someone goes to George Halas' office and said, George, one of your players tweeted something that wasn't right. We got to talk to him. You got a lot of things you'd have to explain to Papa Bear.
What the hell is Twitter?
that would be a start. That would be a start. Anything you guys want to get Jay? Anything for Jay Cutler for Christmas? Crickets at the Chicago Football Podcast Studios.
Dan, do we need to put the explicit tag on this podcast?
So we're going to be giving out our Pro Football Writers Media Good Guy Award this week, and I don't know who won it. I know who the finalists were. Now, we have a string where 3 years in a row, the winner of this award has not been on the team the next year. So it's Josh McCown, then Ryan Mundy, then Matt Slauson. And the two guys who are finalists are under contract for next year, and the Bears would love for them to be on the team next year, and so would the media. So we'll see what happens. But I kind of wanted Jay Cutler to win, because whoever wins the Media Good Guy Award does a little press conference with us, and I kind of wanted it to be a way to have a press conference with Jay Cutler. Speaking of, do you guys know who the New York Jets Media Good Guy Award went to?
Oh, God. Really?
It went to Brandon Marshall. The New York media loves some Brandon Marshall. And I will say this, and I've always said this about Brandon. I really enjoyed media time with Brandon Marshall in 2013. And I didn't cover the team in 2012. There were no problems from what I heard in 2012. And I actually wrote a pretty glowing column about the Bears re-signing him for the 2014 season. And then we all know what happened in the 2014 season. So I thought that was interesting. So remember, it is Brandon Marshall's second year with the New York Jets. All right, let's close up shop before we get to picks for Sunday. Shameless plug for my story on the Bears and cell phones. So this is up on our website, profootballweekly.com/bears. Also, if you go to my Twitter page, @KFishbane, you'll see it pinned to the top of my profile. I was just, as a millennial, curious what it was like for Bears players to be away from their phone for so long, whether it's on game day and they come back to tons of text messages, having to be away from their phone during meetings and practices during the week, who these guys talk to or text or call before and after games. And it was a fun thing to write, and got some really good anecdotes from guys like Kyle Long and Zach Miller and Tracy Porter and Sam Acho and Cravon LeBlanc. So go ahead and check that out. As I said, it's pinned to the top of my Twitter profile, @KFishbane. John Sally, thank you for all the editing help on that. And shout out to Bob Peters, created a very cool graphic for that story. So
it's a great story. Everybody should check it out if you haven't already.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And quick inside the writer's mind, do you know what inspired me to write that story, John?
Was it an emoji text that I sent you?
No.
Was it a Bitmoji text?
It was the fact that my girlfriend's not very good at texting, and
Wait. Hold on. You can't just leave that out there. What do you mean she's not very good at texting?
I shouldn't say not very good. She's not a big texter. So sometimes, so she'll check her phone not that often, and she'll have so many notifications on there. And I'm thinking to myself, imagine if you're – and then it just kind of – my train of thought went to football players who – are playing football games on national television while their phone is locked away in their locker for 4 hours. And then they go back to their phone. And Zach Miller, you know, when he got the game winner against San Diego, he had 400 text messages to read. So shout out to my girlfriend for the inspiration to that story.
That is
inside the writer's mind. Okay, let's go quickly get our picks for Bears Washington. Dan Mott, who you got?
Guys, I'm going to go Washington. There we go. That's all I'm going to say.
That's it. John Solly?
I think the pattern continues of the Bears continuing to fight and staying close and then losing. So I'm going to go Washington 23, Bears 21.
All right. I picked a Bears victory. I don't know why. Because I think they're 1-6 in what John Fox calls coin toss games. So I'm giving them a win in a coin toss game.
Hold on. Does John Fox call coin toss games any game where there is a coin toss? Because that's all of them.
Yeah, he might. No, these are the games that come down to just one or two plays, and the Bears keep losing them. And, you know, the rules of probability tell me they're going to win one of them. So I say they win Sunday on Christmas Eve, 20-18. That'll do it for this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Be sure to head to profootballweekly.com/Bears to check out all of our work. Follow Bears_insider on Twitter and add us on Snapchat. You get some fun Christmas Eve snaps from Soldier Field on Saturday afternoon. Saturday morning, 1.5 hours before the game at 10:30, you get a fun pregame show edition of Chicago Football Now. So at 10:30 on Saturday, flip over to WCIU, get Hub, Arthur, and I talking Bears Washington, a little Packers recap, some fantasy advice for those of you in your fantasy championship games. So enjoy that as your appetizer, your, you know, pregame for Bears versus Washington. And of course, on Thursday, go get our Pro Football Weekly insert in your Chicago Sun-Times, Daily Herald, and Northwest Herald. For my producers, Dan Mott and John Solly, I'm Kevin Fishbane. Thank you so much for listening. Have a very, very Merry Christmas. We got more Bears talk for you next week.